deze vroege zondagmorgen hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. We gaan zometeen naar de Crystal Cathedral, waar de moeder van Natalie Holloway hoopt te spreken. We kennen dat verhaal van het meisje dat op vakantie ging met haar schoolgenoten op Aruba vorig jaar mei en spoorloos is verdwenen. Een Nederlandse jongen werd gearresteerd en weer vrijgelaten en nog steeds is men kortzachtig op zoek naar dat verdwenen meisje Natalie. En hoe beleeft die moeder dat en hoe gaat ze daar in haar geloof mee om? Zometeen in de Crystal Cathedral. En natuurlijk veel muziek, onder andere van Daniel Rodriguez. En als gast bij Out of Power Nederland, David Michaud. Hij was zeer ernstig ziek en kan een heel bijzonder verhaal vertellen over genezing. Wij gaan naar de Crystal Cathedral en nogmaals van harte welkom.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power, now celebrating our 36th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
Welcome to the Crystal Cathedral. It is a spectacular day to feel the presence of God here in this place. And so I want to give you an opportunity right now to welcome those who are standing next to you and behind you. Please reach out, shake their hands and say, God loves you. And so do I. We have many people participating in our worship service today. And so it's going to be a fabulous morning of prayer because we will conclude our service with a time of prayer, special prayer. And it's a gorgeous day today to be able to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is here today, touching minds and hearts and lives and souls with your comfort, with your guidance, with your power. And so allow us to be cognizant of the reality of your presence within us every moment of every day. Amen.
Please be seated. Hear these words of encouragement and hope that we have just sung as recorded in Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. Behold, he who keeps you shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in, from this time forward, even forevermore. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Now, my guest today is Beth Twitty. You all know her name. It's become a household word. Beth Twitty, it was a year ago that her daughter went missing. Her daughter is Natalie Holloway. And this church prayed for them, still praying for Beth Twitty, It's very appropriate that she's with us on a prayer Sunday. Today, I'm anxious for her to be here to tell us how she's turning scars into stars, turning her hurt into a halo by creating a new foundation that can help a lot of people and protect them when they travel. But let her tell us about that. She and her husband, Jug Twitty, live in Alabama with their son, Matt, but give a warm and wonderful welcome with me to Beth Twitty. May a year ago tell where you're at today. Summarize that in your own way.
Well, it has been a long journey, and when we think back to how we began, and you know, Dr. Shuler, on the first day of Natalie's disappearance, that our community, they wanted to be connected in prayer immediately, and Mountain Brook Community Church opened their doors, a church that we had never attended, and had daily prayer services for Natalie, and that was where they could go and give comfort to us by asking God to bring peace to our family and for answers. And, you know, it just spread from our community throughout the nation. And when I think back on, you know, from that moment to where, you know, we began to receive just thousands of cards and letters from persons all over the world, and in the cards they would send us precious and thoughtful little gifts. I mean, I received rosary beads, mass cards, prayer cards, crosses, and pictures just of entire families, you know, that were praying for us.
When you went to Aruba, what we saw on the news was that you expected and hoped to find her.
Yes.
That has never happened.
No, it has not. It has not. And, you know, that was hard in the journey to have to come to that realization that, you know, we might not find Natalie. We might not. And it took a while for me to come to that. But I am at peace with that. But I do want my quest for answers to continue.
You didn't have success in finding answers to those important questions in Aruba. And I hear you went to the Netherlands.
I did. And it was absolutely a wonderful move for me. And I was delighted to have the invitation. I went to Amsterdam. They were just so genuinely concerned. They were very attentive. They were just absolutely wonderful. And they seem, as I do, they would like answers also. And my hopes are that Holland will be instrumental in helping me get to the answers.
Well, I know they'll do what they can. The Prime Minister has been here. He's a dear friend of mine. And the power people of the country watch this every Sunday morning. They are very strong supporters of our positive approach here. Tell me, you had an experience in a little church. I think it was a Catholic church. Or tell us about that. That's very beautiful.
Well, that first week when we were in Aruba searching, it was just, it was so difficult. And I just can't even describe what we were going through and blindly navigating a foreign country. And, you know, I think that I had been awake for so many days and nights that they were blending together. And I think it was on about the fifth morning, and I knew that I could not make it anymore. And I think when you're in a situation like that, I was fortunate to be able to draw upon my foundation of faith. And, you know, my mother, who's here with us today, I mean, there were three words that she raised us with, and that God is good. And I knew what I had to do, and I knew that I needed to seek him out. I'd been praying, but I knew I needed to pray harder and louder. And I made my way to a cab driver picked me up on about the fifth morning at 5 a.m. And he took me to on a gravel road. And as he was slowing down, I noticed there was a line of large, white, beautiful crosses. And he pulled over, and he asked me to get out of the cab. And I wasn't sure what was going to happen as I was approaching the first cross, but when I got there, I stood there for just a moment, and then I fell to my knees clutching a photo of Natalie. and just begging God to give her back. And I got up and I made my way to the next cross and the next one and the next one, and I repeated the same plea.
On your knees?
On my knees, and taking the ground from Aruba and rubbing it across her picture, begging God to give her back. And then I think it was when I got to about the sixth cross that I received an answer from God, and it came in the form of just a complete and overwhelming peace. And the burden that I was carrying and not being able to provide or care for Natalie was truly lifted from my shoulders, and I truly felt the weight lift at that moment. And I knew in that instant that God is with Natalie. And so I think at that point, at that sixth cross, in the early morning hours, I think we came to an acceptance trust, is how I looked at it, is that God is as proud of Natalie as I am. So if he trusted me to place her in my presence to care for her and nurture her, then when she was not in my presence, that I must trust him, that he will care and provide for Natalie, since I can no longer do that with her in my presence. So I think that was just such a turning point in this journey.
I thought when I saw you close up on TV that I saw Jesus in your eyes, and I still do. So he has been your savior, isn't he? And so today, if people ask you, where do you think Natalie is, what's your answer?
Well, she's with God.
It's wonderful.
Dr. Schuller, Natalie's faith, too, was so strong. And I just wanted to share with you that Natalie's Bible study leader told me that Natalie had been in her Bible study class for 4 years. And her senior year with Donna Green's ministry, Natalie was the only one that achieved 100% in Bible verse memory. So she had a very strong faith.
Wow. I know you've started a new foundation to try to help others, and we have a short video of it. No audio, so will you comment as the video is shown now on the screen? You can see it here.
Okay. Well, we have a foundation we've established. It's Safe Travels Foundation, and what we want to do is we want to invite travelers of all ages to visit our website, and to begin to familiarize themselves with the destination that they are visiting. And they can print this information. It's pertinent, critical infrastructure information of the country that you might be visiting, so you can be proactive should you find yourself in a crisis situation instead of reactive, as we were. It was so difficult for us that first week into Natalie's disappearance, because it's hard to know who to turn to and where to get help from. And along with our foundation, we're excited about, we are working in, a university is working in conjunction with the Safe Travels Foundation, and they are developing a curriculum, and they are delving into the legal and safety issues for persons traveling internationally.
Wow. Thank you for that. Thank you. I see Jesus Christ in your eyes. Your eyes are beautiful. There's a spirit that comes through it. And it's more than you. It's not just Beth Twitty. Two people are looking at me. Jesus looking at me through your glazed eyes. And he's smiling. He's proud of you. It's beautiful. Now, there was a song that meant a great deal to you during that time. You want to tell us about it?
Well, I think when persons find themselves faced with such a crisis, that I think we tend to draw upon our foundation, my foundation of faith. And I think when I think of this hymn, it brings me back to a time in my life where there was just peace. And my mother, who is still singing in our church choir, she's been singing there for many, many years, along with her brother, who is no longer with us. And I grew up listening to them sing these hymns, and one special feeling in my heart for this hymn is my uncle was singing this as a solo in his in the choir, and but it didn't remain a solo very long. His daughter Kara joined him for a duet as a surprise, and you know, this hymn is, like I said, it's just been very special in our family for many, many years, and I think that's what I did. I went back in my mind to a place that there was peace and drew upon that foundation.
Wow. And the name of the song is
Because He Lives.
Because He Lives. Beth Twitty. May God, who knows you better than I do, who knows where you're hurting today and can't even share it, may God bless you where you need it most and leave your fingerprints all over her heart. Amen.
Thank you so much.
Organiseert ook dit jaar 5 kerstconcerten en heeft een sfeervol programma voor u samengesteld waarin de geboorte van Jezus centraal staat. U kunt genieten van de ontmoeting met elkaar en de prachtige muziek die verzorgd wordt door een keur van topartiesten.
Oh Lord, my God.
De Amerikaanse tenor Daniel Rodriguez, die zijn warme stemgeluid regelmatig laat horen in de Crystal Cathedral, komt speciaal voor Hour of Power naar Nederland. Ook de bekende pianist Jan Mulder, veel te horen op Classic FM, zal zijn prachtige composities ten gehoor brengen. Met zijn orkest het Mulder Consort begeleidt hij de artiesten en het koor de Cathedral Singers. Ook zal Idols-finaliste Angelique als solo-artiest optreden op deze 5 onvergetelijke kerstconcerten. U kunt hierbij zijn op maandag 11 december in de Laurenskerk te Rotterdam. Op dinsdag 12 december de Meervaart in Amsterdam. Woensdag 13 december in de Sint-Theresia-kerk in Eindhoven. Donderdag 14 december de Bethelkerk in Drachten. Vrijdag 15 december in de Apeldoornse Lolaankerk. De deuren gaan open om 7 uur en de concerten beginnen om 7:45. U kunt uw plaatsen het snelst reserveren via www.hourofpower.nl. Of bel ons kantoor om een bestelkaart aan te vragen.
05 verder 538 0588. De kerstconcerten waar wij vele duizenden van u hopen te ontmoeten. Eén ding staat in mijn geheugen gegrift. Vorig jaar hadden we ook de kerstconcerten. En bij 2 concerten was de jonge dominee Anthony Schuller aanwezig. En hij vertelde wat, en dat was allemaal prachtig tijdens de dienst. Maar heel bijzonder vond ik dat hij na de dienst, als mensen een vraag hadden, naar hem toe konden komen. En dat hij een uur, anderhalf uur, het maakte niet uit hoe lang met die mensen sprak. Terwijl de hele kerk al leeg was en het podium werd afgebroken, stond hij daar in zijn eentje samen met zijn vrouw, met iemand die graag wilde praten. En een van die mensen die vorig jaar met Dominic Schuller heeft gesproken en daar een bijzondere herinnering aan heeft, is David Michaud. David, je bent Amerikaan.
Yes.
En je spraakt Nederlands.
I understand well. Yeah? And I speak some Dutch, yes. Yeah?
Is het moeilijk om Nederlands te spreken?
It's a difficult language when I want to be very specific or speak right from my heart about what I really want to say. I would rather
say. Hoe lang woon je in Nederland?
About 9 years now.
En je bent dominee, hè?
Yes.
Ja. Je bent een trouwe kijker van Hour of Power. Je was vorig jaar bij onze kerstconcerten. En op één van de concerten er gebeurde iets wonderlijks voor jou. Mm-hmm. Kun je dat vertellen?
Well, after the concert, I had recently found out that I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer.
My goodness.
Yeah. And after I felt very strong about asking for prayer at that time in the course of the disease, so I was really looking to the Lord, just where should I ask for prayer? And it came to me at the moment, why not ask Dr. Schuller? And so I made my way through the crowds, and there was a lot of people, right up to Dr. Schuller, and I says, could you pray for me? And everybody was getting autographs and talking and sharing, and then I guess that was a bit of a different request. He hadn't had too many prayer requests that day. And then he pulled me right close and held my hand in a good handshake, good strong handshake. And it was very warm and very compassionate and with a wonderful prayer. And it was a very special moment because there was a lot of power in the prayer. And there was a very wonderful sense of compassion. And so I went away very, very encouraged and very hopeful. And really, it was a good moment. It was a wonderful moment. So it's good to see that from a man you only see on TV, and then you sense the warmth of his heart, you know, and just the love of God through him.
Als je praat over de liefde van God en je krijgt te horen dat je een hele agressieve vorm van kanker hebt, zeg je dan nog, God is liefde, praise the Lord?
When I found out I was healed, it was certainly quite a joyous moment. Oh.
Is dat gebeurd?
That has actually happened 6 months ago. I received my blood tests and they're completely clean.
Is het medisch bewezen?
Yes, with the medical blood tests, yeah. So I had 2 different tests that show that my cancer was completely gone.
Hoe gebeurt dat dan? En kan het dan niet zomaar verdwijnen?
No, I know it. It's I attribute it to of course to the Lord and His power and God's grace. A lot of prayer and a lot of people all over the world praying for me. People I know and people that are friends of friends. And in the whole time, I was able to keep going and pastoring and preaching. But also, the Lord had led me to do a very natural cure in terms of natural supplements and so on. And God really led me and through His Spirit to find some particular things that were very good against fighting cancer and building up the immune system of the body.
Leef je nu anders?
Yes, it's a very different life in a way now. In some ways, my thinking process is different. You appreciate life so much more and the moments and the people around you. And you really count your blessings, you could say. You know, you really count your blessings every day. And you learn how to live not so much under stress, I think. For me, that was a very important thing, just to learn to live very restful and trusting God in a deeper way than I ever did before.
Stel je voor, er kijkt nu iemand naar dit programma en die is eergisteren, ik zeg maar wat, naar het ziekenhuis gegaan en heeft gisteren te horen gekregen, je bent ongeneeslijk ziek. Net als jou, je hebt kanker die niet te genezen is, je hebt nog een paar weken te leven. En je hoort jouw verhaal. Wat zeg je dan?
You know, our hope goes so far beyond this life and the living in time and space like we do. Because our hope goes way beyond into eternity, and this life is such a small drop in the huge bucket of eternity that the very most important thing is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ as personal Savior. That's what I feel first. From there, we can find inner strength, inner hope, and sometimes the Lord brings an amazing healing power to actually physically heal people from diseases, from emotional problems, all kinds of things, you know, everyday stress.
Yeah. Wat als God je nou niet genezen had?
Well,
dat je hier nou had gezeten,
yes.
Ik heb nog een heel korte leven.
Yeah, I know. It's not an easy path. It's not an easy road. I was thinking while I was sick and while I was not healed yet, I was always in the back of my mind, I thought, well, if I have to prepare my final time on earth and just go to meet the Lord, I know where I would be going and that I could prepare my heart just to meet Him. So it's so much in the Lord's hands, life and death. It's not ours, it's His. And I just have to thank God by His grace that He allowed me to stay some more time on the earth, you know? So I'm very grateful for that, and certainly I don't want to ever take that for granted. Life is such a precious thing. Yeah. And life is even more precious when we have inner hope and we have a real inner connection with God in our life, you know? Yeah.
David, mag ik je heel hartelijk danken dat je hier aanwezig was.
Yes.
En dat indrukwekkende verhaal.
Yes.
En je kunt weer op de kerstconcert aanwezig zijn, hè?
Yes, I'm looking
dat
forward
je er bent.
To that. I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah,
ja.
It's a very special time.
Ja. Ja. Met een heel andere gedachte in je hoofd. Dan
absolutely.
Ja. Ja. Ken je het geweldige lied It Is Well With My Soul?
Oh yes.
Wat Elliot
yes.
schreef toen yes. Zijn vrouw en kinderen omkwamen bij een ongeluk op zee. En dus geeft hij niet in verbittering, maar met grote toewijding dat geweldige lied It Is Well With My Soul. En het wordt nu muzikaal verwoord door die beroemde violist Eugene Fodor.
Eugene Fodor, thank you so much for coming and playing your beautiful instrument for us today. Well, I've been talking about the various prayers that Jesus prayed. And one of the events, in fact, one of the first times we hear about Jesus praying actually was when he was baptized. If we go and we read the scripture, we find out in Luke that Jesus went down to the Jordan to be baptized. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. It was while he was praying. It was while he prayed that the Holy Spirit came and descended upon him and filled him. And what the Holy Spirit does, the Holy Spirit comforts. The Holy Spirit guides, and the Holy Spirit empowers. Some people have asked me, what's the difference between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost? And the truth is, they're one and the same thing. The Old English didn't refer to the Holy Spirit, it referred to the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost is the same thing. The Holy Spirit is part of that triune nature of God. It is the extension of God, coming to give us the emotional strength, stability, and power to do what he has called us to do. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Throughout the Gospels, Christ continued to teach his apostles. And he instructed them and he taught them how to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." We all know the Lord's Prayer. We could recite it together. And throughout his ministry, he continued to tell them, his apostles, that he would send a comforter to them to help them and to be with them, to guide them and to empower them. And not until Christ rose from the dead, appeared to the apostles, and not till after Timothy stuck his fingers in his side and said, "Yes, Lord, I believe." And after he walked with hundreds of people, and was witnessed by many, he ascended into heaven in bodily form. And it was at that time that his apostles found themselves in an upper room. Some traditions say that it was the same upper room in which Jesus had his Last Supper with them. And they were there all together, the Bible records. You can read. In fact, let me give you some homework. I always like to give homework. Our homework assignment this week is to read Acts chapter 2 and 3. That's your homework assignment. Read Acts chapters 2 and 3. It's in the New Testament, right after the Gospels. And the men, the apostles, are in the upper room. And the Bible records that the Holy Spirit descended upon them, and they all received a special gift. The gift was to be able to speak a foreign language instantly. You know, I have prayed for that gift my entire life, and I've never been blessed with that. The time I prayed it most was in my Hebrew tests and my Greek tests, and God never gave it to me. He made me work for it. And there's a reason he makes us work for some things, and he just gives it to other people at a particular time and place. And the reason God gave these men the gift to be able to speak in foreign languages was because the Jewish faith was celebrating a tremendous feast called Pentecost. And there was people from all over the known world, from every corner of the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire, they were all there. And they all spoke different languages. And the languages that the apostles were given were all different. And they were all of these different tribes who were visiting Israel to celebrate Pentecost, the harvest festival. The Holy Spirit came, gave them that gift. And more importantly, what the Holy Spirit did is it gave them the ability and the strength and the courage to leave the upper room. I believe they were there in fear and in hiding. I believe they were there because they had witnessed their master. They had witnessed Jesus Christ. They had witnessed the Son of God crucified. They knew that their heads were on the wanted posters. And the only way they knew to save themselves was to hide. And they were in this upper room hiding. And what the Holy Spirit did that was even more miraculous than giving them the ability to be able to speak in a foreign language, it gave them courage. It gave them the courage to leave their hiding place, to go into the streets where their lives would be at risk, and to share the message and the teaching that Jesus Christ had given to them, and they did. And on that day alone, 3,000 people became believers. The Bible records it. And afterwards, all 3,000 believers went home to every single corner of the globe. And the message of Jesus Christ on that day was literally spread around the world. Every single one of the apostles ultimately died by execution for their faith. But the Christian faith couldn't be extinguished by the shedding of human blood. The Christian faith continued to spawn because the Holy Spirit of God is real and it touches people's hearts and it guides them, it empowers them, and it strengthens them. Like we heard Beth Twitty this morning share, God spoke to her and said that Natalie Holloway is with me. And we could know that when we face the most challenging and difficult and frightening of times, that as we come before God in prayer, that God will send His Holy Spirit to comfort us. He'll send His Holy Spirit to guide us. He'll send His Holy Spirit to empower us. The Holy Spirit comes to us through prayer. And today is a time for us to pray. Prophet Isaiah writes that these wonderful words in his 56th chapter, you can go and read it yourself. He says, "My house shall be a house of prayer for all people." And that's what this place is all about. It is a house of prayer. It is a place where we come to pray. And when we pray, what happens? The Holy Spirit comes upon us. And many people feel that presence. Other people don't necessarily instantaneously feel some miraculous thing, but they just know they feel better. And the Holy Spirit works in different ways for different people. And the Holy Spirit has been alive and at work in this congregation, in this church. And today we're coming here and we're having a time of prayer. So today we're going to come and we're going to pray. Many of you have prayer requests, and for those of you who have prayer requests, I want you to know I'm going to pray for every single one of them. I don't know how long it'll take me. It may take me days, and that's okay. If it takes me weeks, if it takes you 3 or 4 weeks to get your prayer card back, please be patient. Realize it's just a lot of prayer cards for me to pray for. Okay? I promise you that I will pray for every single one. I believe in the power of prayer. And I believe that I am blessed by praying for others more than the people I pray for are blessed. And if you feel that way, you can pray for others as well. And so that's why you're here today, to come and to pray. For this is a house of prayer. And when you pray, you will truly receive the power of the Holy Spirit. It'll come in the form of a comfort. It'll come in the form of guidance. It'll come in the form of empowerment. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And so we're going to pray today. I'm not going to conclude my message with prayer, but we're going to move right into prayer. We're going to sing a hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And while we do, you can come forward and place your prayer cards on the table. I want to invite you to come down the center aisle and put them on the table. And then there's pads here. If you want to stay and say a prayer and kneel for prayer, you may do that. We're going to feel the power of the Holy Spirit of God today, comforting, guiding, and empowering. So let us pray. Oh, God, we have placed before you on this table people. People who need a special touch today. It's a name. And so today we are here, oh Lord, with our prayers. You know our prayers. You know our prayers. And so send your Holy Spirit to comfort, to guide, and to empower us. And so we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this church, in your church around the world, in every corner of this globe. And so we thank you, Lord, that we are part of this family, the family of God. We love you, Lord. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have empowered us with the ability to overcome unbelievable obstacles. That as we experience the power, your power within our lives, and trust and believe and with that conviction, that miracles will happen. And so we thank you, Lord. We praise your name always and forever. Amen. And so, may God bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he give you his peace. You're lying down and you're rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus. And that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning, amen.
We zijn gekomen aan het einde van deze uitzending van Hour of Power. En hartelijk dank voor het kijken. Wij hebben in Laren, ons hoofdkantoor staat daar, een toegewijd team van mensen die bidden voor u en voor jou als je problemen hebt. We hebben de moeder van Nathalie gehoord. Het zal je maar overkomen dat je dochter al 1,5 jaar vermist wordt en je weet niet of ze nog leeft of wat er gebeurd is of wat dan ook. En het kan zijn dat de zorgen van het leven zo overweldigend zijn dat je zegt, ik zie het niet meer zitten. En ik zie God ook niet meer staan. Nou, God is dichtbij. Ook als je hem niet ziet en niet voelt en niet ervaart. Maar wat je wel kunt ervaren is de liefde van het gebedsteam die voor jou en voor u wil bidden over het probleem waar je mee zit. Dat gebeurt in uiterste vertrouwelijkheid. En als je een vraag hebt of een gebed nodig hebt, laat het ons weten via een brief of via onze website. Wij gaan afscheid nemen. Graag tot volgende week bij Hour of Power.
Not into temptation.